CliffCentral.com.
All right, so what's happening, George? You've got some stories for us.
It seems to be a new scam on the horizon to steal cars, or wait, should I say, to make money out of stolen cars.
Oh, yeah?
So recently in November, this South African gentleman had an Audi A5 hijacked. Mm-hmm. But the problem was this car wasn't insured. A little while later, he got a telephone call from a cop, and the cop said to him that they have his vehicle, and if he paid 20,000 rand, he would get his car back.
So, in other words, it was bribery.
Well, that could very well be the case, and he didn't know whether this cop was real, so he played along, went with the whole thing, paid the 20,000 rand, actually spent the day with the officers in other dealings of what they did during the day,
yeah.
And then, lo and behold, 2 days later, he got his car back.
Teeth.
So it wasn't crooks. It was actually a part of the police investigation. I mean, I'm really confused.
So he went with them on their day-to-day activities, not related to the car.
Okay, and then found it just purely by chance.
And he paid the 20,000 rand, and so he laid a complaint. And apparently the policeman is still working despite photo and video evidence, or should I say audio evidence. And he's got his car back, but he's short of 20,000 rand.
Wow. Okay, well, listen, if you have a car and it's not insured, that's madness, especially if it's a new car. That's crazy, right, George? I mean, some people won't even let you buy a car if you don't have the insurance.
Well, it's more about the bank finance, Gareth. So the bank is not going to finance the car for you if you don't insure it, because when you buy a car, you take ownership of the car. So on the papers, you'll see that you're the owner, but the bank is the title holder. And that gives them the right to repossess that car if you don't pay for it, and they won't insure it. So the dealership won't hand the car over to you, because it's a rule that before the bank pays the dealer for the car in your name because of the finance, that the car has to be insured.
Yeah, I was under the impression that all cars had to be insured legally, but that's clearly not the case if there are people driving around with cars that are not insured.
Well, there used to be this third-party insurance requirement. Yeah. Mm. And then back to this story, I didn't calculate this down to the daily number, but there are 128 cars stolen in South Africa every single day.
128 a day. That's just phenomenal. My God.
128 cars stolen per day in the country. So, if you do get a telephone call from an official or anybody that wants to make you pay to get your car back, I don't think that's quite above board.
No, hell no, absolutely. Okay.
More positive story, Cape Town has launched a solar-powered electric car charging station. So in the Bellville Civic City Centre, there is a solar-powered charge station, which is for free for the next 2 years.
That's very cool. I'm not surprised, though, that Cape Town is the first place to introduce a solar-powered car charging station. But I love the fact that we're slowly but surely building the infrastructure, and there are more and more places that are offering to charge cars, and there are new ways to do it. I think we've all got to move to electric cars as quickly as possible. Didn't you tell us we've only got like 10 years anyway until they want to make all the cars electric?
Yeah, so most of Europe, so we have a couple of problems in this country, Gareth. Most of Europe have deadlines, depending on the country, ranging between 2035 and 2045. Where they want to ban all ICE vehicles. As a matter of fact, the UK has brought that date back to 2030.
Sure.
And so there's a couple of inherent problems in that. The first inherent problem is our GDP, or our economy. 64% of all cars manufactured in South Africa go to Europe. Okay. So our locals, our local supply is much more than our local demand.
Right.
So if all of those cars go to Europe and they don't want to accept ICE vehicles, we lose roughly 4% of our GDP immediately.
We can't afford that.
So the one thing we have to do as a country is we have to tool up to start to manufacture electric cars, because otherwise those countries are going to find those electric cars elsewhere.
Yeah.
So that's the one problem, is the export. We're a net exporter of cars. The other problem is if we don't move to electric as a consumer population, we will end up having an ICE aging fleet. So even if we wanted to import ICE vehicles, we won't be able to.
An ICE age fleet. shut up there, 3N.
Should be the other way around. An aging ICE fleet, 3N. what does that make me? Dyslexic.
George, that's the least of the worries today. You can be dyslexic if we'll accept you. Yeah. We won't accept someone who's three-legged.
Your dyslexia is not a problem.
I did grow up near those towers in the east of Joburg.
Yeah.
Well,
Joburg? I don't see any towers.
You know those in near Edenvale? Where was?
Oh yeah, come on.
those things aren't. There's no nuclear activity going on there. You'd have to have grown up near Chernobyl, as Sia said. Anyway, sorry, George, but we digress. So okay, we've basically got to get onto electric vehicles ASAP.
We've got to. It is in our best interest. There's an example. I mean, I wasn't going to talk about this morning, but you brought up an important point. There's an example of a country that let go of their manufacture, and that is Australia. Mm. Australia is an importer of cars. They don't manufacture cars anymore. They don't assemble cars anymore.
Right.
And their automotive industry absolutely crumbled as a result. So you know, and very lastly, you know, there's from a new car point of view, it's between retail and manufacture, it contributes about 7% to our GDP. I think it's much higher than that. I think it's at about 20% of GDP, because taking into account all of the other services, Tiger Wheel and Tire, HiQ, secondhand car retail, sure, all of those things. The automotive industry contributes, in my opinion, much more than 7% to our GDP. So we've got to work with the government to get this done. And the only way to do that is to reduce taxes and bring on incentives. But let's not get onto that moaning.
Yeah, no, sure. But I think that's a valid point. We it's a good thing we've got that part of our economy that is manufacturing vehicles, but we've got to move to electric if we want to be part of the future economy. Exactly. All right, what else is going on?
So remember the Ford Kuga fires?
Yes, they suddenly just burst into flames, and we thought it was because the Cougars who were driving them were drinking while they were driving, but it turns out it was just the cars.
It was just the cars. So I mean, if you remember for everybody, what happened was there was a problem with airflow and cooling inside the engine bay, which then caused an oil leak, which then caused the fire. So that was the crux of the problem. Ford recalled a whole lot of vehicles, 4,500 in South Africa, as a matter of fact, and got them repaired. These vehicles were manufactured or built in Valencia, Spain, between the years of December 2012 and February 2014. South Africa slapped Ford with a 35 million rand fine as a result. But another thing happened in the background. 53 people laid claims to Ford for compensation. 47 of them got a 50,000 rand payment, and three people rejected the payment and are going to court. and three people's claims were rejected by Ford. So, so this story continues with Ford compensating people whose cars caught on fire with 50,000 rand each.
George, do you know why the three are going to court?
Because I don't believe that the sum is big enough. They want more.
See, right. Those are my people.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, there's three of them who did it. This is like the number of legs Leanne has.
No, but those are my people. I heard 50,000 and I thought that wasn't enough. And you know, here, take my legal advice from someone who has no legal expertise at all. If you want to win a lot of money in court, always go with something they can't put their finger on. Claim pain, claim trauma, claim, you know, just the whole experience was too much for you. They can't prove that, but you can say, oh, I can't even leave the house anymore and go into a car because of what I experienced when the car blew up.
And they'll say, no, you can't leave the house because of lockdown. Stop making it about you.
Oh.
Anyway, if Sia can,
listen, yeah, but I think 50,000 is too
much. I just want to warn anybody, if you see Sia as a litigant or as a claimant in some case, just run. He's going to try and he's going to try and get you to pay for everything else in his life. He's one of those people. So just run.
Absolutely.
All right, George.
I'm not denying that.
We seem to have a question by Amy, Gareth.
Okay, let's go to Amy's question. Amy says, "Hi, George. Out of interest, how do services like We Buy Cars and other buying services work? In particular, where do these guys that they buy go? Where do the cars?" I'm sure Amy's drunk. Anyway, she says, "There seems to be a very high demand for used cars. Is this true, or are the cars being sent elsewhere? Thanks." All right. Do you make sense of that, George? Can you help?
Yeah, I can help, Gareth. So Amy, between your glasses of wine there, no, the cars don't go elsewhere. There is a very high demand for used cars in South Africa at the moment, and the reason is a couple of fold. One, we are under economic pressure. We're in recessionary territory. And number two, as a result of financial pressures, and people have lost their jobs, if you recall, and got salary cuts, people are opting for used cars because you can get a better deal with a used car than what you can with a new car. So no, the cars aren't going anywhere. They're in the country.
And how does it work with those services? How do those companies like We Buy Cars and cars.co.za and all those people, how do they manage their businesses?
Well, the car buying services, they buy cars from consumers and then sell them on back to consumers. So the car buying services trade cars just like any other car dealer. And, you know, the difference between We Buy Cars, who's a customer of Auto Trader, is it's a car supermarket, which means there's a couple of thousand cars on their floor, whereas a traditional car dealer has maybe 30, 40, 50 cars on their showroom floor. But if you go to a really cool site that I know about called autotrader.co.za, you will see 75,000 cars.
So cut out the middleman. All right, so here's something interesting. Amy apologizes for her shoddy typing. She says, "Well done for understanding the question." But someone made a point here about Leanne's story from last week. About how you fell, Leanne, while you were in the driveway and you chipped out your teeth. And they say that you shouldn't be called 3-Anne with your three legs. You should be called P-Anne because you were peeing, you were peeing in your driveway. All right. That's all we've got time for. Gosh. That's enough stupidity for one morning. Everybody have a happy day.
Cocksnocks, Yella.
Gareth, can I just mention one more thing?
Sure, George.
For everybody that's perhaps driving this December, looks like there's a petrol price decrease on the horizon.
Oh, that's great. We need some good news. Okay, good. Even if it's 2 cents reduction, we'll take it. All right, George, thanks very much. George Meany, the CEO of Auto Trader. You can find out more by going to their website. As he says, how many thousand? 75,000 cars.
75,000 vehicles. CliffCentral.com.